All right, let's find out if somewhere, somehow this morning, we can come to an agreement. That's what I'm after. I want us to come to a mutual agreement that will define and direct the week that we're about to experience. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Background, Paul, the apostle, author, recipient, Timothy, young, green behind the ears, anxious to be successful, struggling with a group of new Christians as he pastors a church, dealing with the basics. And the apostle Paul, who knew more about basic training and basic concepts and basic commitments than anyone, would use these words. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Embodied in this passage of Scripture, I believe, are the basics. I hope you and I hit on the same cylinders this morning. Will you take the hand of the person on your right and left, and let's pray together as a Christian family. Heavenly Father, You've brought us here this morning by Your design, for Your purpose, that we might be embodied, empowered, and ordained to do Your service. Father, I'm keenly aware this morning that there's enough collective power in this room to overwhelm a world that does not understand or refuses to hear. And Lord, I pray that there will be no hypocrisy in us this week as we deal with basics. And Lord, before we ever dream of the great beyond and winning the world to Christ and all the things that You've called us to do, help us to make certain that we have endured, that we have been committed, that we have not been silent about Your word, which is never silent. Lord, You've done so many things in this room in the past. You've made so many things happen in people's lives. Lord, I pray that Your work will continue this morning, because we pray, agreeing together, in Jesus' name. Amen. You could run the gamut this morning. We could talk about prayer. We could talk about Bible study. We could talk about witnessing. We could talk about a church relationship. We could talk about the communication of the faith in a dialogical manner. We could talk about building a systematic theology. We could talk about hundreds and hundreds of things that basically fall into the category of the basics. But I want to try to take all of those this morning and zero in into three significant categories, and would like to suggest to you that this morning, all of the basics of the faith that you and I hold in Christ Jesus fall into these three categories. And they are these. First of all, a childlike trust. A childlike trust. Not a childish trust, but a childlike trust. Secondly, a willing obedience. And thirdly, a commitment. A commitment to discipline. These would be the basics. And behind these, beneath these, following these, are all of the things that comprise the nature of the discipline that you and I call the basics of the Christian life. I'm a pastor of a church. God has granted me the dream of my life, and that was always someday to get to pastor a church near a college campus, to pastor a college church. I just happened to get to pastor the church where we're near Hebrew University. 18,500 students at the University of Miami, 11,000 Jews. It's a challenge, to say the least. And one of the things we're doing in our church is trying to master the basic communication of the faith. Learning how to take adults, and not assuming that anyone ever is an adult in the faith, but learning how to take chronological adults and trying to get them to master the basics of the faith so that our communication will be consistent and so it will be solid and so it will be understandable. I believe that the first basic fundamental of the Christian faith is a childlike trust. The beginning of faith is a childlike trust. Tim Timmons tells the story that happened in his house 2 years ago. His little boy began to pray nightly as they prayed together that God would give him a baby brother. Now, Tim was not aware that the boy was alert enough to realize what else had been going on at the house, but he put his arm around his little boy and he said, "Johnny, I'll tell you what, if you'll pray for 2 months, you pray for 2 months, and I'll guarantee you God will give you a baby brother." Well, Johnny increased his prayer life, and he began to pray every day for a baby brother. But as little children will do, he not only prayed, he announced the essence of his prayer around the neighborhood. And he ran into multiple skepticism everywhere that he went. He discovered that it had never happened in the history of the neighborhood. You just didn't pray for 2 months and whammo, there's a baby brother. It just doesn't happen that way. And so, filled with skepticism, after 1 month of praying, he stopped. 2 months had gone, and on a special weekend, Johnny was sent away by his parents. He was sent away for a long 4-day weekend with his grandparents in a nearby city. Unbeknownst to him, something else was happening back home. When Johnny came back home, his daddy met him and brought him in the bedroom where his mother sat serenely in the bed with not one little baby boy, but 2 baby boys, twins. And his daddy put his arm around him and said, "Now, Johnny, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Johnny said, "Yes, and aren't you glad I quit when I did?" That's a childlike trust. I believe so much in that intensity of a child to literally believe what you do and what you are and what God expects of you. A childlike trust. Now, I'm not talking about a feeling. Be very, very careful at this point. I'm not talking about feelings that you had. I'm not talking about going back and recapturing the feelings that you had when you first became a Christian. I was 7 years old. First Baptist Church, Amarillo, Texas. The big eye was up in the top of the church. Billy Sansing told me it was God. I watched me everywhere that I went. I became a believer in Jesus Christ in the First Baptist Church in Amarillo, Texas at 7 years of age. It's an indelible experience. I've never doubted it in my life. I've doubted me, but not that experience. I met Jesus Christ as a child, and I remember the excitement and the joy and the intensity and the happiness of it. And I've never been able to recapture that feeling. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I realize I can't recapture a feeling. The Bible says that unless I become as a little child, I cannot see the kingdom of God. The childlike trust is that which we don't want to lose. It's not a feeling, but it's a faith experience. It's a commitment that you make that makes you fundamentally as open and as tender and as loving as a child. It's not a recovery of innocence. It's a renewal of your joy. It's a restoring of your joy in Jesus Christ. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's not a recovery of feeling. It's a renewing of that experience of faith that says, "Lord, I'll trust you enough to go anywhere and do anything that you want me to do." I have to relate the experiences because they've all taken place right here in this place. Some of them right here in this room. I remember so vividly, 25 years ago, at Glorieta, New Mexico, I heard Baker James Coffin preach. And like sinners in the hands of an angry God, I literally held on to the back of a pew for fear that God would call me to be a missionary. And I struggled in my heart with this, and I came to the reality that God wasn't saying, Dan, put your life on the line and sign up for Tanganyika today. But He was saying, give me your life. You have to trust me. You trusted me before. Why don't you trust me today? You trusted me when you were a child, when your whole life was before you. Why don't you trust me now while all the marbles are on the line? Why don't you trust me now? And I've never forgotten that experience. This most tremendous peace entered into my life. And from that moment on, I have never, ever denied in my heart the experience of knowing that God was going to direct me. Sometimes He'd have to hit me a little harder than others. But He always was going to direct me. That was 25 years ago. 20 years ago. Instead of going to training union during student week at Glorieta, I went up in the prayer gardens to pray earnestly. Melinda Milliken was with me. And when we came back, we were engaged. You better watch the prayer garden, guys, I'll tell you. Something very wonderful happened in my life because in this place, God began to reveal. You know, I could even pull out old Charlie Rozelle's old sermon about mission, mate, and master and tell you I met them all three right here at Glorieta. It was a childlike trust. It was a willingness for two of us, for Melinda and for me, to say to one another, we have enough faith in Christ and enough trust in one another to believe that even in our immaturity, and man, when you're 21 and 18, that's compound dumb, you have a belief that something good is going to happen in your life. And it really takes a childlike faith. A belief that says, man, nothing can stand in our way. We can through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We can. 10 years ago, in this auditorium on a Sunday morning, it was very, very much like today. Beautiful sunshine outside. Wasn't a cloud in the sky. Buckner Fanning was preaching. And out in the distance, there was a clap of thunder right after he said, I want you all to listen to God. And man, I listened. Something happened to me that morning that turned my life around irrevocably. You see, I was facing that first adult decision of my life. I was facing my first baptism of fire in a Southern Baptist church among God's people who sometimes are not so godly. And that morning, I made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ that I would start preaching, that I would quit denying the dormant gift that He had given me, and I would become His communicator. I'm still trying to renew that commitment, but I cannot get away from that one experience that morning. Right here in this place, God used Buckner Fanning to swing from the floor and to say to me, you can, if you'll trust Jesus enough, just a simple childlike trust. Not childish, but childlike. That willingness to say, I can. That willingness to say, if I can't, my Father can. My Daddy can. And to follow Him in that way. I think the most important thing in all of life this morning is to say to you, don't let anybody take that childlike trust away from you. Don't let that campus sophistication, don't let that philosophy professor or whomever it may be, don't even let the sarcasm of a left-wing or a right-wing group at the BSU take away that childlike faith that says, man, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I'm going to do what Jesus asked me to do. You go debate your position. I'm going to live out my Christian life. It's a childlike faith. One of the really great people in my life is Phil Briggs. He was my big brother. Kind of half-raised me when I was a kid. Today he's a professor at Southwestern Seminary, and this year will be serving in a campus ministry role on sabbatical at the University of Missouri in Columbia. You know what I love about him? Oh, not the fact that he always makes me laugh or that he loves me very much, but one of the great things in his life is that he's never, ever lost the ability to understand the child in him. He's always game. He's always ready. He's always eager. He's always hungry. He's always willing to say, let's go, let's do. No adult jaundice. None of this stuff that says, well, I'm not certain that's acceptable anymore. But just a simple childlike faith. That's very important. What bothers me, and I always hesitate to say it, I'm afraid to say it at this moment, but I will because it's important. I think the reason most of us have lost the basic concept in our life today is because we never really have experienced Jesus Christ. And our churches and our Baptist student centers are full of people who are acting out the Baptistic way, or they are saying, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a something else, and they've never had an experience with Jesus Christ. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And until you're born from above and the Spirit of Christ comes into your heart and you trust Him, there's no reason to talk about any other basic except that, a childlike faith. The second basic idea from the Scripture, if I understand it, is to say you and I must have a willing obedience. A willing obedience. What do you mean, willing obedience? Isn't obedience all... No. Obedience is not always willing. I know, don't you? I've got scars to show it. Willingness is not always obedient. It is important for us to understand that we must be willing to go and do what God wants us to do. I've been a fan of Steve Coffin for a long time. I saw him at Hialeah just a few years ago in Miami. I was amazed that this young boy could come off the hills of Kentucky and jump on the fastest horses in the world and become the athlete of the year, according to Sports Illustrated. And then I kind of commiserated with him when I realized that he had now set a record for consecutive losses. They sent him over to London. That's where he is today. He's riding as a jockey there in their race seasons. And recently, he finally won a race. And it'd been a long, long time. The reporters ask him about it. Of course they gathered around. Anytime a guy's lost that many and now wins, they want to know what it's all about. And they said, what did you do today that was different than all the other times? And with kind of a wry smile, he said, I leaned over in the horse's ear and said, roses are red, violets are blue. Horses that lose are made into glue. I think many, many times in my experience as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ has to lean down and whisper in my ear, or else. I'm always one who wants to, but I'm not always one who's willing. Am I truthfully obedient? What does this mean? It means a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Are you coachable? What's wrong with most of us? What's wrong with most of us is that we arrive at a time in which suddenly we discover that we can't learn anymore. Because after all, when you have the acumen intellectually that I now possess, how in the world can I ever learn anything else? I got so mad at the Southern Baptist Convention this year, I nearly had a rigger. Listen, my friends, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you can still learn. And if you've ever arrived at the time where you know everything about God's Word, I want to go sit at your feet. But it seems to me if you know everything there is to know about God's Word, you ought to love me more than you've ever loved me in your life. And anytime you start castigating people and putting them down in the name of the Holy Word of God, something's terribly wrong with your life. It's a willing obedience. It's an obedience to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll take your word and I'll incorporate it into my life. Look what Paul said to Timothy. It's an exclusive submissiveness. An exclusive submissiveness. Which says, Lord, I will be subject to you and to none other. It's a willingness to say, I want to be obedient. And look at this. It's a rigid adherence to the rules. You live by the rules. The rules that you find in God's Word. The rules that you find in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you live as a willing one, willingly obedient. Let me say it again. I like the sound of it. I need to hear it. Willing obedience. Let me tell you what I've learned. No, let me tell you what I'm in the process of learning. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. There's a lot of things I do not understand about God's Word. And with God as my witness on trial before you today, I have to tell you that I do not know all that I need to know about God's Word. I am still, as Sarah said, too often in the milk-eating category. But I know one thing, understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. And I've learned another thing, and I can find it in God's Word all the way through, from cover to cover. Obedience always precedes blessing. Obedience always precedes blessing. I am never going to know the power of God's Spirit in my life until my life is fully and completely obedient. And it's an experience that I have to perform in my life every day. It doesn't just happen 10 years ago at Glorieta, New Mexico. It has to happen this morning at Glorieta, New Mexico. In other words, it's that commitment to growth that they portrayed so well last night. Obedience, obedience, obedience. It is the distinctive hallmark basic of the Christian life. 1975, Johnny Wooden retired. He won his 25th consecutive championship. At that day, he won the NCAA championship and set a grand record for all living coaches. No one's ever won that many. The reporters gathered around and they said, "Tell us about this team. How does it compare to the team that Wilkes was on, or Jabbar, or others?" And he said, "We don't have the talent on this team. We don't have the talent on this team we've had in times past. We don't have the individual stars that we've had in times past. But there's one distinctive about this team. It's the most coachable I've ever had." Now, God does not expect us to be the most outstanding, but He does expect us to be the most obedient. A fundamental precept of the Christian faith, the basic, childlike faith and a willing obedience. You say, "I can't be obedient." Will Rogers told the story about the little frog who fell in the deep rut in the road while hopping from one pond to another with a bunch of other little frogs. He exhausted every effort to get out of the rut, and finally the little frogs on top of the rut said, "We'll go for help." And they hopped away to find some help for the little frog. They came back late in the evening with a plan for bringing the little frog out of the rut, and he was gone. He wasn't there. And they formed a search party and found him sitting out there on a lily pad just enjoying life. He had told them, "I can't get out." And they had seen his efforts and he couldn't get out. And finally the old frog looked at the little frog and said, "But you said you couldn't get out." And he said, "I couldn't. But a big truck came along and I had to." I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God teaches you and me today that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. And this morning your entire life could be changed by His Spirit if you would allow Him that privilege. Are you obedient? Don't tell me how much you know about the Bible. I know about your apologetic. Don't tell me about how many people you've won to Christ. Don't tell me how many summer missionaries you sent out. But tell me today how obedient you are. Because that's the issue at stake. There's one last one. A commitment to discipline. A commitment to discipline. Now up to this point, I can work pretty well with a childlike trust. I like that. That's good for me. Ooh, I like that. And, you know, when it comes right down to obedience, I've learned enough about obedience to know that with every act of obedience, there is a corresponding blessing from God. Not always a reward, but the very blessing itself comes through the obedience. Obedience is the blessing. But now comes the hard part. It's called a commitment to discipline. A commitment to discipline. One of the most difficult things I ever had to learn, and I did not learn it until I was a seminary student, was that I had to ask God to give me a passion for study. Am I getting too close to home? God, give me a passion for study. Commitment to discipline. There's big talk in Miami. Wish you could be there. Man, it's a good place to be. Do you know what's happened? We got Larry Zonka back. Man, and the press is full of all the stuff that Zonk's going to do. The other night, the first exhibition game of the season, he went in about halfway through the second quarter, and 70,000 people stood up and cheered just because he ran into the game. And he carried the ball one time, made 5 yards, and they gave him a standing ovation. Outstanding! Man, they're so excited about what Zonk's going to do. But they're also telling something else about Zonk.
along with Bob Greasy and Tim Foley, these veterans in the camp, you know what they're having to do? They're having to do everything the rookies do. Everything. Every single thing. They run what they call gassers. And that's a good name for it. Because they get on one side of the football field and they run over and touch the sideline on the other and they run back and Shula goes in the house, you know, forgets about them. They just go back and forth and back and forth until somebody starts dropping. And after everybody drops, then it's called a gasser and it's all over. That means they're in shape. Are they going to get that way or die one? They're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And they asked Zonka the other day in training camp when they do the little interviews. They said, what's the hardest thing? And they expected him to say losing the 40 pounds that he had to lose and running the fastest 12-minute run covering the most distance in his entire pro career. They thought that might be it. He said, no. He said, you know, the hardest thing for me to do is to go back and master the fundamentals. To master the fundamentals. A commitment to discipline. Larry Zonka, Bob Greasy, Tim Foley, Roger Staubach, Earl Campbell, whomever you may name, they all have to do the same thing, just like the rookies do. And it's a lifelong commitment. When you say, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you, it means I'm going to join your school, I'll enroll, and I'll learn of you, and I know I'll never get to graduate. Just keep on taking those courses. Keep on growing. Keep on developing. Keep on becoming. Have you read it? I hardly recommend it, even if all you get a hold of is the magazine version. National Geographic tells the story this past month, but now it's a runaway bestseller. It's Peter Jenkins' book, Walking Across America. A disillusioned young man gets together a pack on his back and he begins to walk from the East Coast to the West Coast. On the way down, he's walking all the way, rigid training, covering miles and miles a day. He stops in on a tent revival in Alabama and he finds Jesus Christ and meets him as his personal Savior. And then lo and behold, he keeps walking and it's time to earn some more money. And so somebody helps him on the walk and he finds a room at New Orleans Seminary. And while he's there, he meets a girl and they get married. And very soon after their marriage, he begins training her to walk with him from New Orleans all the way across to the West Coast. They're going to go all the way up to the top. All the way across. They talked about the rigid training every day. And he shared with her his experience that had brought him all the way from the East Coast, the West Virginia hills, and all the way down to New Orleans. And she trained with him until she could run 8 miles. 8 miles easily without stopping or breathing deeply. And so he said, she's ready. And they began their walk. They walked across West Texas. Went through places like Benjamin. All the way across. They said they'd go half a day and not see anything but a coyote or a big jackrabbit. And the heat was oppressive. And they followed certain rules. They knew just how to take care of their feet. They knew all the significant rules of the road. They knew what the safety factors would be. And they walked all the way across the United States and they only made one mistake. Only one time did they make a mistake. And that was when they began to walk with the traffic instead of against it. And one day a near fatal accident took place when the wind was so cold that they didn't want to face it anymore, so they turned to walk with the traffic. And a car went out of control and hit his wife and threw her up into the air with her arms flailing in the distance. But because of a big pack on her back, she was cushioned and her life was saved. They only made one mistake when they started walking with the traffic instead of against it. Doesn't that tell you something about the Christian life? Listen, my friends, God has called you to walk in His footsteps, to follow Jesus Christ. And that means you never walk with the traffic. You're always against it. That line that Jesus draws for us is that we're walking up the middle of the road against one-way traffic and it's coming our way. And the Christian life toes that line, and that's the discipline of commitment for the rest of your life. You're going to stay with it for as long as you live. Childlike trust, willing obedience, and a commitment to discipline. Do you have it? How basic are you? One of the most stirring things I've read in a long time is Will Campbell's book, Brother to a Dragonfly. He describes a dialogue in this book between a man who's always baiting him. "Hey, Reverend Will, how's the Easter chicken?" The Easter chicken was P.D.'s name for the church. The Easter chicken. He tells the story about how one day in dialogue with P.D., P.D. began to tell him the story about the Easter chicken. He said, "Hey, Brother Will, you know what I did last Easter? I went down to the grocery store and bought my little girl Karen a purple chicken. Cute little old thing, purple it was, brought it home and Karen loved it. Best gift I gave her last Easter. Man, she enjoyed that thing. She loved it, she adored it, and it served a purpose." He said, "But you know what happened to that old Easter chicken? One day its feathers started sprouting, and that purple started falling off, and there were pin feathers and tail feathers that began to grow. So that wasn't no Easter chicken. That was a Rhode Island Red." He said, "I took that Rhode Island Red, and my little girl Karen didn't want it anymore. And he said, I threw it over there in the chicken house at Grandma's house. And he said, all the other little chickens looked at that little Rhode Island Red Easter chicken, and they knew it was different. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. He'd try to get close to eat, and they'd peck him away. And finally, that little old chicken knew he was different enough to where he stayed by himself. But then one day, something began to happen. He found out that if he got mean enough, he could push those other little chicks aside, and he could peck them away, or he could push after them. He could knock them over, and he could get to the bug before they did. He said, in fact, before long, you couldn't tell that Easter chicken from all the other chickens in the chicken yard." And then he said the words that I think characterize the major problem with most of us today. He said, "Well, you know what happened? That chicken world turned that Easter chicken around so that now you can't tell it from any of the rest." You know what bothers me more than anything about you and about me is that I'm afraid that this old chicken world is going to turn me around so they won't know that I'm any different than they are. Listen to the words. If we die with Him, we will live with Him. If we endure, we will reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will disown us. If we are faithless, He will not remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. And He cannot disown those who've mastered the basics, because they're committed to Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you today, is that old chicken world about to turn you around? Or is the love of Jesus Christ the basic governing principle of your life? Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to take this invitation and to take our hearts and put the two together. Father, what is it you want us to do? Father, what is it specifically you want me to do? Father, help us to examine our hearts. What's wrong with us? What's right with us? Are we still trusting and childlike? Are we still willingly obedient? Father, help us to realize that it's a lifelong discipline. And I pray that as we begin this week, that this morning, by the grace that is yours, we might begin a new pilgrimage, mastering the basics, and then moving beyond in Jesus' name.